You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It is Friday, June 5th. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Creation Club and Friday to you today. What do you have for us today, sir?
Well, first of all, we'd like to make an announcement. Every month, the Missouri Association for Creation has a meeting, and their next meeting would be Monday, June 8th. They will be meeting at Afton Grace Bible Church. The location of the church is 4523 Rosa in St. Louis, Missouri, 63116. And the presentation this month is called The Big Picture. And so this will be a live presentation by Ivan Bergener. Ivan Bergener is the president of the Missouri Association for Creation Board of Directors. He's also the pastor of Grace Bible Church. He retired from being a chemical engineer. He graduated in 1955 from the University of Illinois, and his professional career was in chemical engineering. And when he retired in 1993, then he went into preaching and teaching the Bible and also teaching about creation. So those who are in the St. Louis area can attend that Monday, June 8th, 7 p.m. at Afton Grace Bible Church, 4523 Rosa in St. Louis.
Oh, very good. Very good. And that's coming up then. The date for that again
is Monday, June 8th.
So this Monday, June 8th, and at, I'm looking for the time, at 7 p.m. is The Big Picture.
Correct.
Very good. All right. Well, last time we talked, we discussed the new CTCR report, and we didn't quite make it. It's quite a lengthy report, so there's plenty to discuss about it.
There is, and we're not necessarily going to go through the whole book together on the air. There's a lot of stuff in there, and some of it is pretty deep. You know, mm-hmm. Hard to get into little sound bites that we can discuss in 10 or 15 minutes. But I thought we would at least talk about one other part of that book today. So again, the report is In Christ, All Things Hold Together, The Intersection of Science and Christian Theology. This is a new report from the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, which is part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our church body. And it does a very good job, or at least as much of it as I have read so far, I think does a good job of helping us to sort through the relationship of science and Christian theology. Last week we talked about scientism, the danger of scientism, and the book also addresses things like naturalism and materialism and helps us to understand the pitfalls of these things, helps us get a right understanding of the use of reason, both reason as we approach the Word of God, the Bible, and also reason as we look at the world that God made. So I think there's a lot of helpful information in here, at least as far as I've read in the book, and I have not read it all yet. So it takes some time to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this book. It's heavy reading in some places, but it's, mm-hmm. it's worth it. And I commend this to our listeners. Every Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation should have received a copy, one for the pastor and one for the congregation. And I think it also may have gone out to other professional church workers, mm-hmm. our teachers and DCEs and so forth. And you pointed out last week that it's also available on the synodical website.
Mm-hmm. LCMS.org/CTCR.
There you go.
Yeah.
So hopefully our listeners can check it out, and if they've got some time this summer to take the time to read through it carefully. This isn't just skim through it quickly. It's sit down, read it, think about it, some good stuff. So in the remaining time this morning, what I was going to propose we do is, if you had the booklet, you would turn to page 35. It's chapter 1, part 6. And the subheading is A Christocentric Approach to Creation. And I thought that might be appropriate since we talk about creation from a Christological and mm-hmm. biblical point of view every Friday here on KFUO. And the report at that point begins by saying, a major problem with many well-meaning attempts to understand science in Christian terms is that they are implicitly deistic. God creates the universe and governs it through laws, but is otherwise uninvolved in it. This modern picture of a distant God and a spiritually empty nature is precisely what C.S. Lewis lamented in the discarded image. It is not enough to connect the God of the philosophers with nature. We should seek to recapture the idea of a God who is actively present in his continuing creation, preservation, and providential shaping of this world. So I think that's kind of an insightful thing, that we shouldn't have this idea that God created the world in the beginning and then just kind of backed off and said, okay, have fun, you know, work on your own. God is still upholding all things. He goes on to point out what Scripture says, as you know, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 talks about Christ. All things were created by Christ. They were created for him, and in him all things hold together. He also reminds us of the Gospel of John, the beginning of the Gospel of John, that affirms that Christ is the one who created all things, but also he's personally present as the unifying thread throughout the whole fabric of creation. So I think this is an important concept that we need to think about. And then he talks about reductionism, scientific reductionism. So in scientific reductionism, that would be that people have this attitude that things that we see in nature are nothing but something less remarkable. So morality is nothing but instinct. Life is nothing but chemistry. Consciousness is nothing but brain processes, and so forth. And so that concept of scientific reductionism gets examined in this chapter as well, and they show that it's really deficient. So that's very popular. Every time you pick up a news magazine, you know, they come up with something. Oh, now we found that, you know, people believe in God. Well, that's because your brain seems to be wired to think about God. But it's really just chemicals in your brain. You know, that's all it is. God is really just chemicals in your brain. That kind of thinking, which is overly simplistic and doesn't really deal with the true nature of things. So, again, on page 35 of this report, it says, in general, the reductionist supposes that a created whole is nothing but the aggregate of its parts, and that we have a complete inventory and grasp of the parts. The scriptures reject this view because we cannot fully understand what something is except in its relation to God. Thus, God tells the prophet Jeremiah that he knew him before he formed him in the womb, implying that what Jeremiah is as a person known by God cannot simply be reduced to the particular biological material formed during gestation. Likewise, all things that God creates are what they are, not finally because of what they are made of, but because of his intentions and purposes. Thus, a scientific analysis of a human being into cells or particles will not reveal that he is made in the image of God or is personally known by God. And so forth. So, but the latter remain part of the final truth about who and what that person is. And it goes on to talk about these things. And I think that's a helpful thing to bear in mind. You know, we are more than just a bunch of chemicals thrown together in a certain way. Remarkable as that is in its own right, that it would not be the product of chance. But the reductionist paradigm sometimes works in science, and in many areas of science is spectacularly successful. But it should not be regarded as providing the whole truth. And again, the article goes on to help us understand there's more to understanding the whole reality than just simple biology or simple chemistry. There's another part of this, and I know we don't have a lot of time to get into this, but there's another paragraph here that says, as we have seen, it is dangerous and inappropriate to try to use science to prove scriptural truths, as if scripture is nothing but a disguised textbook, and as if science has final authority. But it is possible to point to scientific data which, combined with reasonable philosophical assumptions, provide good evidence for God's involvement in the natural world. The evidence itself consists of highly specific information found in nature, which cannot reasonably be explained by undirected physical causes. And then it goes on in the report to discuss two examples of that, and one is the fine-tuning that we see in the universe, and particularly in planet Earth, that indicate that this was no accident. You know, whether you're talking about certain natural constants or where the Earth is relative to the sun that it orbits, and the gravitational pole that we have, the moon that we have. There's lots of specific things that are discussed in this report that our readers perhaps have heard elsewhere that talk about how planet Earth is obviously not just an accident. That, you know, it's, everything is finely tuned so that life can exist on planet Earth and that Earth is habitable, whereas all around us in this, our own solar system and elsewhere in the universe, we haven't found other places that are habitable or that are so finely tuned to host life. And so that's an interesting argument in its own right. And there are several pages of discussion about that that I would direct our listeners to. And then there's also the matter of DNA, the biological information in this coded biochemical information system of DNA. And the more we learn about DNA, the more remarkable we find the whole matter of life to be. And we recognize that where there is a coded information system, there is a code giver. Just as if you found hieroglyphics, you wouldn't say that this just happened by chance over millions and billions of years. You recognize this is something produced by intelligent human beings. When you find a book or a whole library of books, you don't just say, well, isn't it interesting how this just happened over millions and billions of years? You know, people recognize that information systems like books and hieroglyphic inscriptions on tombs in ancient Egypt and so forth, all these kinds of things are produced by intelligent beings. How much more is it not logical to say that, you know, if the DNA, which is infinitely more complex than a library of books written by human beings, that this must have its source in the superintelligence of our wise, loving, creating God. And so there's a lot of stuff in this little book that from the CTCR that I think is worth reading. And this is just one little sample from chapter 1, part 6, dealing with a Christocentric view of creation. And since we're talking about Christocentric, let's kind of bring everything back to Christ, because why do we bother to talk about these things? Why would we have our Commission on Theology and Church Relations write a report on the relationship of science and Christian theology? Why do we talk about this every Friday on KFUO Radio? Because really, ultimately, it's all about Christ, isn't it? You know, so it, as important, as interesting as the doctrine of creation is in its own right, as important as it is to understand the authority of Scripture, as important as it is to relate things about what we see in the geological layers to what the Bible tells us about the flood of Noah's day, the real big issue is who is Jesus Christ and how does all of this relate to Jesus Christ? Because the rising amount of militant atheism in the world today and the rising number of people who reject the church and the Bible and ultimately Christ, this is a concern to us because we want to make sure that people understand everything is about Christ, and the whole Bible is about Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. And a concern that we have is that in the secularism of our day, in the scientism of our day, in the materialism and naturalism of our day, many people, and many young people in particular, are being led to think that the Bible is just a bunch of fairy tales. You don't need to listen to it. You don't need to open that book. Don't read that book. And we know where that comes from. Of course, Satan does not want us to read that book because he's not playing for small potatoes. It's not just about whether you believe Genesis is true or not, whether you believe in a literal six-day creation or not. Ultimately, the devil doesn't want us to believe in Jesus Christ. And so all the attacks on the Bible, all the attacks on the doctrine of creation, all the attacks on a biblical worldview are really intended by our old evil foe to shake us loose from our faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is our Creator and our Redeemer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so all of these things that our CTCR and our discussion here on KFUO are intended to do is to help people to not be afraid of science, not to be afraid of thinking, not to be afraid of checking these things out, and to realize that we have the answers, all the answers that we need. Number one, in God's Word, the Bible, which is God's own testimony of the truth of creation and redemption and our salvation. But then also, in the scientific world, when we use our reason rightly, we will see that there is not a contradiction between what God tells us in His Word, the Bible, and what He has revealed to us of His nature in the created world. We see, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, that God's power and wisdom are displayed in his creation. But ultimately, you know, the created world cannot lead us to Christ, can it? You know, we can learn that there is a God, and we can learn certain things about the attributes of God from the created world. But ultimately, to know the true God and to have eternal life in him, you know, we need the gospel. We need the special revelation that comes to us in God's Word, the Bible. And ultimately, we realize that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is in the image of the invisible God, the one in whom all things were made, by whom all things were made, for whom all things were made, and in whom all things hold together. And so that's just a really important concept for our listeners to grasp. And then while we do want to use our reason and our science in, as we study the Bible and try to make sense of things, we have to be careful of this, of an idea, a wrong use of Christian apologetics. A wrong use would be the idea that, you know, we have to prove the Bible by science. And it's better to understand that we study science, we study the Bible, and we understand that with the right use of our reason, the right use of studying the world around us, we see that there is definitely a correlation, that what the Bible tells us is true, and you can see that also when you study these things. But it's wrong to think that we're trying to prove the Bible or argue somebody into faith, because we don't come to faith by our own reason or strength. But as we heard earlier today, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel that God calls, gathers, enlightens us, sanctifies us, and keeps us in the true faith in Jesus Christ, in whom we have forgiveness of sins, the resurrection, and the life of the world to come. So these are the things that we want to kind of help our listeners to understand, that it's important to talk about these things, and this little report, I think, may be helpful in that regard.
Very much so. It is quite helpful. That one sentence on page 35 that you pointed out really stands out for me. In general, the reductionist supposes that a created whole is nothing but the aggregate of its parts, and that we have a complete inventory and grasp of the parts. We think that if we know everything about the parts, then we understand the whole, and we certainly don't. You can find it, again, listeners, you can find it at lcms.org/CTCR. It's a great report. Pastor Wirth, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
God's blessings. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO.